Srila Prabhupada. We're on page 5 in my book. How Arjuna accepted. Now this is a deluxe edition. Just in front of Arjuna Uvacha.
Yes, I can read out loud.
Yeah. How do we share the video? Okay, good. So, how Arjuna accepted this Bhagavad Gita should be noted. Srila Prabhupada is writing. His manner of acceptance is given in the 10th chapter. Arjuna uvacha param brahma param dhamma pavitam paramam bhavan purusham shashvatam divyam adidevam ajam vibhum ahustvam rishaya sarve devarshir naradastata asito devalo vyasa svayam chaiva bravishime sarvametat ritam manye yanmam vadasi keshava nahite bhagavan vyaktim vidur deva na danava. Somebody knows what this means? Danava? Yeah, right. We got descendants of this Dana. The mother is Dana. So Arjuna said, you are the supreme personality of Godhead, the ultimate abode, the purest, the absolute truth. You are the eternal, transcendental, original person, the unborn, the greatest. All the great sages such as Narada, Asita, Devala and Vyas confirm this truth about you. And now you yourself are declaring it to me. O Krishna, I totally accept as truth all that you have told me. Neither the demigods nor the demons, O Lord, can understand your personality. After hearing Bhagavad Gita from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Arjuna accepted Krishna as Param Brahma, the Supreme Brahman. Every living being is Brahman, but the Supreme Living Being, or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the Supreme Brahman. Param Dhamma means that he is the supreme rest or abode of everything. Pavitra means that he is pure, untainted by material contamination. Purusham means that he is the supreme enjoyer. Shashvatam, original. Divyam, transcendental. Adidevam, the supreme personality of Godhead. Ajam, the unborn. And Vibhum, the greatest. Now one may think that because Krishna was the friend of Arjuna, Arjuna was telling him all this by way of flattery. But Arjuna, just to drive out this kind of doubt from the minds of the readers of Bhagavad Gita, substantiates these praises in the next verse, when he says that Krishna is accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not only by himself, but by authorities like Narada, Asita, Devala, and Vyasadev. These are great personalities who distribute the Vedic knowledge as it is accepted by all acharyas. Therefore, Arjuna tells Krishna that he accepts whatever he says to be completely perfect. Sarvam etat ritam manye. I accept everything you say to be true. Arjuna also says that the personality of the Lord is very difficult to understand and that he cannot be known even by great demigods. This means that the Lord cannot even be known by personalities greater than human beings. So how can a human being understand Lord Sri Krishna without becoming his devotee? Therefore, Bhagavad Gita should be taken up in a spirit of devotion. One should not think that he is equal to Krishna, nor should he think that Krishna is an ordinary personality or even a very great personality. Lord Sri Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. So, according to the statements of Bhagavad Gita or the statements of Arjuna, the person who is trying to understand the Bhagavad Gita, we should at least theoretically accept Sri Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and with that submissive spirit we can understand the Bhagavad Gita. Unless one reads the Bhagavad Gita in a submissive spirit, it is very difficult to understand Bhagavad Gita, because it is a great mystery. Omagana timirandasya gyananchana shalakaya chakshur militam ye natasmai shri gurave namaha ukam karoti vacharam pangum langayate kirim yat kripatam aham vande shri gurum dinatarinam param nandam nadaham. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shmate Lokanath Swami Nityanami. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanami. Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtaja Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this paragraph, this section is about how we should receive Bhagavad Gita. What is our attitude? So Krishna, yeah, okay, tell me something about yourself. Let's see if I'm going to believe you, if you're going to make some sense. This could be one attitude. Is that the one which is recommended here? No? Kartamasha. So yes, the whole point is that we must make the word vibhu is used. Great. Anu is what? Small. So vibhu is we, yes? And anu is like everybody else. All right. Yeah, but what vibhu means? Oh, we are the small ones. I see. So that's the spirit in which to relate in this case. Like if we don't accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Srila Prabhupada also in other places points out, so then there's no sense of the whole book being there. So why then Arjuna approaches Krishna as a spiritual master? So the whole point is lost if this is not accepted as a basic premise. So at least theoretically. So is this of any relevance to us? This word, at least theoretically. So anybody has seen Krishna? Don't tell if you have seen Krishna. So if you have not seen Krishna, so it remains theoretical. So here is the teaching, Srila Prabhupada is teaching us. So we should at least theoretically accept Krishna as God, as somebody who knows everything. And then it makes sense to accept Bhagavad Gita. So Srila Prabhupada is very strong on this point. Earlier on in the introduction, he had related the story of the lady who approached him, like which version of Bhagavad Gita you can recommend to me. Srila Prabhupada could not answer. All the versions were perverted. So, Mayavad, Bhashya, so much speculation. So I use a famous scripture, Bhagavad Gita, very famous. I write my name under it, and then I become famous too. And then we don't learn anything from reading that kind of treatise or commentary. So the whole point is that those who read Bhagavad Gita as it is, they became devotee of Krishna. But then how is this? It is said here that we should be a devotee of the Lord in order to read the book. And now I'm saying that devotees were made after reading the book. So there is some gap. But also those who want to become devotee and who have some initial faith, who have some, admitted Krishna, it's possible, he could be God. Or at least now I accept that this premise that he can be God. And I will accept it as truth, just like Arjuna did. Sarvam etat ritam manye, rita, the truth. Sarva, not aya, I'll pick and choose, like from a menu card. Oh, this is very nice, Krishna, I'll accept this. But this, no, that's too much. No, so Srila Prabhupada is explaining how we should relate to these sacred teachings. And then he's quoting from the Gita itself, 10th chapter, where Arjuna is also making the same affirmation. Krishna, I got it. You are God. I'm totally convinced now here. Because, of course, he had accepted Krishna as a spiritual master before. But here in the 10th chapter, he gets this kind of great realization. Like, you are the supreme abode, the purest. You, and not only is this my opinion or something, subjective, but who is telling this also? Asita, Devalo, Vyasa, and Narada. So all these great sages, this heritage. So the parampara, so the previous acharyas, Arjuna also, although he's at the beginning of a parampara, where the parampara is renewed, still he also refers to previous acharyas. So everybody who's teaching Bhagavad Gita or who's a disciple of Bhagavad Gita, a student of Bhagavad Gita, everybody accepts the commentaries of the previous acharyas. Nobody is leaving that aside. So this is the principle of submissiveness, not only to God, but also to his devotee, and to the principles of Shastric study, and just like approaching a guru. And three references are guru, sadhu, and shastra. So this point is made clear here, and that Srila Prabhupada is inducing us to accept that same attitude of submission, that Vidipanipatina, as we will read further on in the fourth chapter, very humbly inquiring, and then knowledge can descend because it is mercy, and mercy comes from top down and never goes up to somebody who has a proud attitude. So this is a qualification. So the point is made, how can one, a human being, understand Lord Sri Krishna without becoming his devotee? This is repeated in several locations in the Bhagavad Gita. Because you are non-envious, because you are my devotee, Arjuna, therefore I will teach you. At regular times, Krishna is speaking in this way throughout the Bhagavad Gita. So, to come back to that point, but in the beginning, where do we start? We need to be a devotee in order to understand Bhagavad Gita, but it's by reading Bhagavad Gita that we will become a devotee. So, the word theoretically accepting God is actually the reconciliation of these two. I was very skeptical, for instance. But then when we open ourselves, when we have an open attitude, a little humility. All right, it's possible that this is the truth. So then we are qualified to become students of Bhagavad Gita, and then we can learn. So no one should think that he is equal to Krishna. If we think, I know it already, that's basically the same thing. Sometimes it is said that as long as we identify with the body, we're more or less making a statement that we are Krishna. So therefore, also in the fourth chapter about transcendental knowledge, Krishna emphatically said that those who are, two things, dedicated to spiritual knowledge, it's not like hobby or leisure, casually is the reading, or you read something. And the other thing is, and subdues his senses, is eligible to receive this knowledge. Very important statement. So those who are dedicated to it, or take it very seriously, cultivate this knowledge, and who are subduing their senses. So this is the same thing. When we don't do anything which the body pleases, so we are eligible to get some understanding, gain some understanding of this transcendental science. So following the instructions of Krishna, accepting Krishna. One time Lord Chaitanya said, "Hey, love me, love my instruction." I think in Chaitanya Bhagavat. Love me, love my instruction. Otherwise, no. Chalo, I don't believe you. So that's also, we can apply to this principle of to become eligible to understand Bhagavad Gita, we must accept a guru who is telling us the instructions of Krishna. And then the great mystery, rahasya yetat uttamam, becomes like revealed to us. So we have a habit of doing things on our own strength, working with elbows, relying on our intelligence, on our gifts, our talents, our abilities, which nature has given us. So then here it's the other way around. Oh Gopinath, I've accepted my defeat. Bhaktivinoda Thakur so elaborately has described in throughout his bhajans that, oh, all these university years of mine, they have made me more ignorant fool. They have made an ass out of me. The more I learn, the more I become ignorant because forgetful of Krishna. Because we are enamored with so many things of this world. So what a blessing, actually. Those who dropped out from school, they are so much blessed. Bhaktivinoda Thakur indirectly is saying, the more you study worldly things, this takes you away from Krishna and Krishna consciousness. Because it's all based on pratyaksha, the cheating process of acquiring knowledge, direct sense perception. Our senses are fallible, we make mistakes. Therefore, defects. So therefore, Shabda Praman, accepting the instructions coming from Krishna, here, the words of Krishna, as authoritative statements, accepting them totally. Sarvam etat ritam manye, not pick and choose, not a la carte, but accepting the whole thing, the whole package. That's basically what's said in this part. But you may have some thoughts on as we were reading this, and I'd like you to share that too, so we can have a little discussion. Please. As you were reading this, what came to your mind as points of attention? Anything? Babu? Please speak very loudly, as if there is a whole crowd of 5,000 people sitting here, so that people on the altar also can hear. You are saying we should be able to hear from devotees as well? Am I getting you right? That's the quality of humility. The quality of humility is so important. Indeed, actually, you remind me that when Krishna is speaking 20 items, 18, 20, in the 13th chapter of knowledge, verses 8 to 12, he starts off by like double, Amanitvan and Adambitvan. So both mean basically the same, like humility, pridelessness. They are the two first items of knowledge. I mean, Krishna starts off from them. Maybe it's not because he starts in alphabetical order, Amanitvan, Adambitvan, but because it's so important. Anything else? Babu? Speak loudly. Thank you very much for sharing. So that even you get the text of Bhagavad Gita as it is, that's the Gita you got, or you got another one? Yeah, you got this book. Yes. Okay. I've heard another senior devotee in Antwerp, he told me one time that he had read and he didn't understand anything of it. And then he made a point of saying, he told this story many times. But when I got to the temple in France, New Mayapur, and I was washing pots, it all became so clear to me. He was very fond of telling this story, that by devotional service it sinks in. We have so many anarthas, there's a thick layer of ignorance covering our vision, our capacity of understanding. And this devotional service is very powerful. It's cleansing the heart like anything. And it enables us also, it enlivens our senses, and we become less dull. Because we please the Lord, yes. And by pleasing the Lord, what happens? Yeah. And by pleasing the Acharya, we were singing again ecstatically this morning. Yasya prasadat bhagavat prasado, yasya prasado nagatikuto. So that's the effect of washing pots in Krishna's kitchen, and then very quickly things become clear. Yes. And the association of devotees, yes. That makes a whole world of difference. Eh? Somebody who can explain. Srila Prabhupada writes, in the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, he writes, reading is important, but more important than that is hearing and discussing. So Srila Prabhupada established a morning and evening program, and you know that how much he stressed this. Just to give an idea, in the very early days, you know, when Srila Prabhupada had done his first tricks on his disciples, like he did many tricks, he said, Krishna consciousness is very easy. Afterwards he admitted that he had not spoken the truth. But then, like, he had initiated a couple of disciples, and after the initiation, you remember, he had a poster on the wall. And there were, it was longer than our first people. They said, like, the four principles were there. But there are quite some more things. Remember anything what's there? Well, yes, these four we know, eh? But there are some more. Recently I came across this poster in his handwriting. And what else is there? Actually, you will be elated to hear Mother Gopal Prabhu. The devotees should attend morning and evening programs. And another thing, they should refrain from worldly talk. Okay, about these two, I'm sure. There were a couple of other things too. No frivolous sports, man. And I don't know if the... Oh no, that's later in the nectar of instruction. I think not going to sweetmeat shops. Anyway, so there was something... There were a couple. Oh, yes, also. Also that one. Should always be chanting. Sometimes there is this misunderstanding that Srila Prabhupada told us... At initiation time, or our guru, that Srila Prabhupada told us we should chant 16 rounds every day maximum. But actually there is a misunderstanding. This is not the maximum, this is a minimum. And you know, this quote also, Srila Prabhupada said you should 16 rounds on beads and unlimited rounds of the beads. So So this will make the whole thing look very clear. We are dull. And we also, we tend to engage in nonsense activities, waste of time. So chanting is a wonderful activity when we have to fill up gaps. And we must make plans also. The other day, this nice French devotee, he said, we must always be making plans to control the mind. There's this Manasa Puja. It was an interesting way of looking at it. It's Manasa Puja, because you engage your mind in serving Krishna and making plans for him. Our progress depends for 99% on our chanting, on the quality of our chanting. So what we do is we at least 2 hours a day sit down in full concentration, and the other 22 hours is hopefully, I hope this is not wishful thinking, but like, and the other 22 hours we endeavor to come into the right frame of mind, to to chant these rounds perfectly, offenselessly. Right, right. Therefore, we do other things also in order to chant nicely to us. So that means we rest enough. If we are rested enough, we have a better chance we can focus. It's hard to control the intelligence when we are not rested, right? So, and another thing is even you are easily agitated. So that means usually during these 2 hours, we don't commit offenses to others. It's during the other 22 hours. So it's very scientific, it's a racist edge, you know, you slept a little too little, you know, or you're not well rested because you ate a heavy lunch, it's not that, then you need more rest. So so then you need to take that extra rest and next time don't eat so much. But if you, Nick, fail to do this, and you say, oh, I cannot sleep less than, more than 6 hours, then I'm in tamaguna. But what is worse? No, you're more in tamaguna if you are like agitated and... So therefore, it says it's Buddha Yoga. It's so scientific. It's not a small thing. We have to be very much alert, awake, in Krishna consciousness. Yes. So therefore, it's so much Srila Prabhupada's stress to come to the mode of goodness. So we will have discrimination. We will not be tricked by our wicked mind. So it's very important. Yeah? The whole nectar of instruction, practically speaking, is about this, you know, raise yourself up to the mode of goodness. Yeah, it's related. Bhagavad Gita is setting our mind so we will be able to chant nicely. Yes, we need to hear Krishna. In the 10th chapter, Krishna is describing how we can see him. So, throughout the day also. And we will not be so likely to forget Krishna. So we have a problem. We're making a fire. We are endeavoring very hard. Hey Krishna, Hey Krishna, Krishna. Wow, some devotion is coming after the 15th round, maybe, hopefully, or easier, or already before that. But then as soon as we put down that bead bag, or after the morning program, we pour a big bucket of water on that fire by material activities. Somebody put it this way. We have that problem, huh? So we must be careful. And holidays, also like Ekadashi tomorrow, they are such an opportunity to be more devotional all day long, isn't it? Let's focus on the bodily demands. We try to make it a day of the Lord. And Madhava Toshana, there's something to please the Lord. So we had Radhastami. Who had a nice experience on Radhastami? Who did not have a... Everybody has a wonderful experience on such days. Radharani is so merciful. Huh? To those who observe them. What does Bhaktivinoda Thakur say? They are the mother of devotion for those devotees who observe festivals like Janmashtami and Ekadashi. So this is like extra chance. Huh? We should take a chance to get somewhere. Huh? We don't put so many buckets of water on our fire during those days. We're more focused. Imagine there is a festival and we are busy decorating, yes? Or we are praying all day long, chanting, hearing Krishna Katha. We don't move from the temple room for hours. Yes, in India we can do that more easily. Therefore also Kartik vows, they are so powerful. And now they are doing retreats, even not during Kartik also, at other times, and it's such an opportunity to get absorbed, to become absorbed. So then we can do samadhi now, work later. But usually, day to day, it's always survive. Work now, samadhi later, huh? Isn't it? So we must find balance in our lives, so we don't cut ourselves with a sharp razor's edge of Krishna consciousness, but make a very nice result, you know, becoming very pure in heart. Any other points? Questions? Prabhu?
Thank you.
By reading Bhagavad Gita, which is non different from Krishna, is literary incarnation, we get affinity for Krishna and we become attracted to him. And we develop a desire to serve Krishna. Yes. Okay. Let's keep the iron rod in the fire, also by reading Bhagavad Gita, very regularly, and then it becomes like fire. By being in touch with fire, with Krishna.
Prabhu's mother just said.
Anything else about today's text? Prabhu. Yeah. You don't want to be selective in accepting instructions of Krishna. You accept them all. Yes, it's a wonderful sentence. Huh? And I can, sometimes when I read parts of Bhagavad Gita in Sanskrit, I hear Srila Prabhupada say it. He has such a powerful voice, isn't it? Sarvam etat ritam manye. You can imagine sometimes, huh? Even you didn't really hear him say that particular. Sarvam etat ritam manye. So convinced. So sadhu can go deep in our hearts. Yes. So this is a nice meditation, isn't it, on Srila Prabhupada? Sometimes he's so exuberant in his lectures. There's lectures when Srila Prabhupada is a kind of like putting everybody at ease, an address. There's addresses. There's so many wonderful recordings. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for coming to this Society for Krishna Consciousness. So many wonderful. And then there is this impassionate, the word is impassionate also. Then is it at the height? He's always in ecstasy, but then we can relate to it. Oh, Srila Prabhupada is at the height of his. So our prayer is that we may also become that much enthusiastic about the teachings of the Lord and then overspilling. By Shishika Prabhu, a wonderful disciple of Srila Prabhupada, he says, you have to fill yourself up to the brim, and when it overspills, overflow, distribute the overflow. So when a bucket goes full, sometimes there is another bucket and it runs into the other bucket. And all that you can distribute. If we are so surcharged with enthusiasm, utsahan, nishtaya, dhyaya, so then we will be able, yes? Then it becomes so natural, and so easy. And it's very credible. I mean, what was it? Where was it this morning? Somebody was speaking about giving it to others and then that people, they can relate to you because you're full of it. You're full of it, and where the heart is filled with, that comes out, and you want to share that in such a natural way. So this is the way. So when we come in the kirtan, we never should be there with a half heart. Imagine, it's your birthday and I'm coming with a present. Here you are. But what a disappointment. Are you sure you want to give it? You may want to keep it. Maybe you want to keep it. Yeah. And imagine he's able to convince me that I keep the... Okay, all right. So if I offer the holy name to the Lord in kirtan like that, imagine... Sorry? Oh, yes. By accepting it now, as I say it, so why give only half your energy? This Mangalati, your mind comes, Prabhuji, yeah, your mind is also sometimes very polite, educated, aristocratic, and he dresses you, Prabhuji. You can imagine your mind as a person. And he says, it's early, don't give everything yet. You can do that during Guru Puja or something. So it's what a disappointment for Krishna, He likes. He don't want us to hold back, so we are already few devotees. There were years here that this was filled up every morning, and there were at least two mitangas, and the devotees were jumping. And I witnessed one day here when Bhakti Tirtha Swami was here, Mangalarti time, but he was dancing after the second stanza. up and down. So they have this in mind. And then when we are here, five Prabhujis and more Matajis, of course. And then what are they thinking? Are they remembering those years when the devotee? At least we should sing for three, so that they have some remembrance of these loud kirtans of those days. What about that? We have energy. We can give it to them. So why give only half? It's common sense. So just by using our common sense, yes. Hare Krishna. Why say
Hare Krishna?
And when we chant japa, that's another thing. Everybody needs to hear himself, so you don't try to disturb others. But why hold back in kirtan? Why hold back? There's only a few devotees. We can invite them. So just like here, wonderful bhajaniyas, we should chant loudly, yes? It's much more inspiring for the Lord. It's more convincing. Yes? It should be a little bit intense. The problem is when our sadhana is not very intense, alright, okay. I'll come back later, Krishna says. When you want me a little bit more, when you're a little bit more adamant on having me. This is the best comparison, huh? Actually, somebody was comparing so nicely, you know? He's a wonderful devotee from Bali. His name is Titiksho. He gave such a wonderful comparison. Like when baby is crying, "Mama, mama, mama," and then mama comes and gives him a chocolate. Or a little toy next time. And then he already shut up. But now there's other babies, you know. And they cry, "Ah!" And only when mama is there, you know, and when they can be with their mom, then they are only satisfied. You know? And as soon as mom goes away, "Mom!" What a good comparison. So Krishna is like that. Yeah. So we must be intense. Tivrina, Bhakti Yogena, Yajeta, Purushampara. Whatever we want. Our desires may not yet be fully pure, but at least give everything. But it's a little bit contradictory to call Krishna, but you're not sure whether you really want him to come, because then maybe it takes away this or that. So make sure you know what you want, and then go for it. Right? I mean, not half-hearted, wholeheartedly. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? It's enough. Bhajans. Thank you very much. Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Premanandaya.